أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite the salawat. We mentioned last night that the du'as that we have, this golden opportunity that we have, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us every year, when the month of Ramadan comes, this capacity for us to be able to go through change, we can excel if we choose to do so. These are the unseen parts of this world that we have no means and no way of being able to understand, to measure, except through the divine source that we have, the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, the Holy Quran that we have, which teaches us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that this month has a great capacity for you to change, for all of us to change, for all of us to start moving in the right direction. And we want to, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be able to make use of this great opportunity and move in that direction, inshallah. I hope for myself and for all the brothers and sisters, this month of Ramadan is a beginning for a new course in our lives, inshallah. And we said that through the du'as that we have repeatedly mentioned in this month, we can gather what some of the areas that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to move towards are going to be. After all, these du'as that we read are not just meant there to be read, they are meant to be reflected upon. You've heard this a number of times, and I think the more we hear it, the better it is. Some of these scholars have sessions that they discuss the du'as of the Ahlul Bayt. The course, the class is about the du'a of the Ahlul Bayt. Sahifa Sajjadiyya becomes a textbook. All right, they go over every verse of that supplication. And the more you listen, the more you dig deep, the more you try to get more of that, there's still so much more. There's books that have been written. Riyadh al-Salikin is a sharh, a commentary on Sahifa al-Sajjadiyya. Okay. They're there for us to learn from, not just read. And then once you have that deeper understanding, you're able to truly want what the dua wants to teach us. Okay, because there's training in there, there's teaching in there, but the main teaching in it is that this is something to ask for. And as we mentioned yesterday, real asking, when you really want to supplicate, when you really want to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not just those words that come out. You've got to move in that direction. You've got to take steps in that direction. If you want to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Him to increase your sustenance, you can't just sit at home and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase your sustenance. Money's not going to be sent down from heaven to you. That's not going to happen. You need to take steps. Okay. If you want a good grade, you can't just laze around and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you. That dua has got to come with practical steps in the direction that you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you out. We mentioned that one of the du'as that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly tells us through the Ahlul Bayt, through the Holy Prophet, to repeat, especially on the nights of Qadr, are du'as that we have related to the coming of our beloved Imam Al-Hujjah Ajjalallahu ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. And the point that we're trying to bring home is that these du'as are not just asking somebody to come and do something. No, these du'as have practical implications. asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send the savior for mankind, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send this last imam that is going to fill the earth with justice, is not just something to ask for without practical steps. No, there's very, very practical steps that need to follow. I'll read a passage of Dua al-Iftitah that inshallah you've been reading every night or listening to. In the last passages of the dua, the imam teaches us to say the following to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It says, Allahumma inna nashku ilayka faqda nabiyyina salawatuka alayhi wa ali. I complain to you, Ya Allah. When you complain about something, when you're actually disturbed and bothered by it, when you don't feel good about something, you complain about it. We're told to say here in this dua, God, I complain that the Prophet isn't around. For a lot of us, I think we're just reading that passage. We don't really feel like we're missing out on not seeing the Prophet. We're not really missing out on not having the Holy Prophet around. Okay. Well, there's practical steps to reach a stage where we understand, oh, we're actually missing something. We're actually deprived of the blessing of, says, وَغَيْبَةِ وَلِيِّنَا. We are complaining that the imam of our time, although he is around, maybe it's not a bad idea to repeat this again. Some people don't hear this often. What does غَيْبَة mean? The absence of the imam, what does it mean? Some people think, you've heard, maybe some of you have heard, and there's different theories that go around, funny ones sometimes, about him living in Bermuda, some island, preparing something, or being somewhere in some other realm of existence that's not here. No, he's right here on earth. He lives with people, he sees people, he watches everything you watch, in the sense that he watches all of what's going on in the world. He's part of this. It's just we don't recognize him. We don't know what he looks like. Okay, but we don't have access to him. We don't see him. We cannot benefit from his blessing. You shouldn't be having someone like myself here giving talks. If you had the imam of our time, Ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu sharif, explaining to you all the true teachings of Islam, all of us would be thirsty for the knowledge that the imam can provide for us. Not just the knowledge. If he would just be around, just watching him, seeing him as a blessing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us light of looking at an alim as we have in hadith. A real alim, a pious alim, not just anyone with the imam like myself. No, a real alim. Looking at an alim is going to be bringing blessings and bringing light to people's eyes and hearts. Then you can imagine what an effect the imam of our time would be having if he would be around and we'd have the blessing of seeing him. Just having him around, being around him, sitting somewhere close to him. This is something to long for, to want, and then read this dua in that way. وَغَيْبَةُ وَلِيِّنَا وَكَثْرَةَ عَدُوِّنَا. We have so many enemies. Sometimes when I talk to people, I feel like they live in this world that they think that everybody's all good and everything's, you know, perfect and everything's fine. Especially in this country. And they don't feel that there are multiple enemies that are attacking Islam, attacking all the believers, attacking all the values, attacking everything about the divine. And we are smaller in number. Okay. Some people just don't get that for some reason. كَثْرَةَ عَدُوِّنَا, understanding that there are multiple enemies, is something that the dua has. وَقِلَّةَ عَدَدِنَا, I ask you a question. Talking about enemies, like our enemies, and then having fewer numbers on our side. What does this paint for you? What type of a picture does this paint for you? There is a struggle going on here in this dua. The believer is supposed to be seen and considered as part of a struggle, that they are one party and then they have an enemy in your own party of friends are, well, going at it. There's supposed to be a battle going on over here in this dua. Again, that's something that I feel that we need to develop in ourselves. Where is this? What are we doing? In a battle, if you're just sitting around doing nothing, watching the enemy take their steps, and you're lazing around, you're going to be losing. What are we doing as part of this battle? Because it is a real battle that we're taught in this dua. وَقِلَّةِ عَدَدِنَا وَشِدَّةِ الْفِتَنِ بِنَا وَتَضَاقُرِ الزَّمَانِ عَلَيْنَا. I'll leave those for you guys to read the translation. So there's complaining here about all of this. Then it says, فَصَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ. وَأَعِنَّا بِذَٰلِكَ بِفَتْحٍ مِنْكَ تُعَجِّلُهُ. Help us in this battle بِفَتْحٍ مِنْكَ, with a victory that you bless us with, and that you make this happen as soon as possible. تُعَجِّلُهُ وَبِضُرٍ تَكْشِفُهُ. And all the losses that we're having, all the difficulties that we're having in this battle, that you help us try to avoid and minimize and eventually eradicate all of the causes of this harm. So in other words, this passage of the dua, when we are actually asking him for something, we're asking him for victory. Again, the scene is people that are active, involved, moving in that direction, trying to make a difference. Okay, this is something very serious. And this month of Ramadan should be a time that we reflect on these concepts and try to figure out where we are, what we are doing. Let me read you something from Amirul Mu'mineen Salamullah. It's scary. We're approaching the nights. These are the last nights of Amirul Mu'mineen Salamullah in Kufa. Amirul Mu'mineen has had a very, very, very difficult life. Okay. Truly. If we were to just understand one of the difficulties he went through, especially after the Holy Prophet, without any exaggeration, there's no wonder he's referred to as awwalu madlum. Okay, in ranking, after the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, Amirul Mu'mineen is the highest ranking madlum. He's been oppressed beyond anyone else in this world. This is said about Amirul Mu'mineen, not about Imam al-Husayn. Awwal madlum. Okay. Part of the madlumiyah are these words one reads in Nahjul Balagha, and really shakes one up. And the reason why I'm reading it is to picture and to try to imagine a scene today, right now, and try to understand why the Imam of our time is not here based on this. Okay. I feel myself being addressed by these words. These are the words that Amirul Mu'mineen would be telling me. He's addressing the people now that after the difficult times and the different battles, when he is the Khalifa, he is the ruler, he has that authority, he calls people to go to battle a few times, then gradually they start disobeying him, gradually they start telling him, no, we're not going to fight, these guys are Muslim in the Battle of Siffin. Then when he wants to gather them again to go, a few times they keep resisting, they keep pushing back. They were on their way to Siffin when they had to turn back because of the weakness of these believers to go and fight the Battle of Nahrawan. Otherwise they would have gotten rid of the root of the problem, which was Muawiyah. So these people are not listening, right? They're not moving forward. They're not active. He says, Ya أشباه الرجال ولا رجال. Oh, those who resemble men but have nothing of manhood in them. حلوم الأطفال وعقول ربات الحجال. Your wishes, your desires, your dreams are childish. You have child, instead of having a mature man's vision, thought, and dream for the future, your thoughts and your vision is childish. And your understanding of the circumstances you're in is just like a woman who is only thinking of and involved with housework. Okay, you're that naive. Okay, now we don't, since I'm not focusing on this passage of the Nahjul Balagha to explain this as a lecture, I don't have time to explain what all is really hidden in these lines. But the idea is, Amirul Mu'mineen is speaking, listen to the rest of it, says, لَوَدَدْتُ أَنِّي لَمْ أَرَكُمْ. I wish I would have never seen you people. I really feel that the way I am, many of our communities are, I hope we don't have that here, but if he would come here and try to get us mobilized, because that's what the imam is going to do. One of the companions once asked Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi about the coming of the upriser of the Ahlul Bayt. And the Imam told him, just relax, alright? Right now all you need to do is just relax. Take advantage of what you have available to you right now. Enjoy your family, enjoy your fun time, enjoy your luxuries, enjoy all of that. Because when the Imam comes, it's going to be difficult times. You're going to be mobilized. And just the same way that Amir al-Mu'mineen, before Amir al-Mu'mineen came, people were relaxed. Alright? This is something we don't know, that we haven't read. People were very relaxed, chilled. There's no internal conflict. Money, cash is just flowing in with all the riches of the areas that the Muslims have conquered. Alright, this is what the people were living in. Amir al-Mu'mineen comes, battle after battle after battle. Eventually people are like, we're sick of this. We've had enough. Want to get back to that normal life. Are we really up for this call, this dua, and asking for the Imam of our time to come? Or are we going to be like the people that they came, they begged Amir al-Mu'mineen to come and rule over them, but then when he came, he has to talk to them in this way, لَوَدَدْتُ أَنِّي لَمْ أَرَكُمْ. I wish I would have never seen you. وَلَمْ أَعْرِفْكُمْ مَعْرِفَةً. I wish I would have never known you. وَاللَّهِ جَرَّتْ نَدَمًا. Knowing you has had no benefit for me or no result except that it has caused me regret. وَأَعْقَبَتْ سَدَمًا. It has led to nothing but pains and hardship for me. قَاتَلَكُمُ اللَّهُ. Allahu Akbar. Look at how Amir al-Mu'mineen is speaking to these people. قَاتَلَكُمُ اللَّهُ. May Allah take your life. لَقَدْ مَلَأْتُمْ قَلْبِي قِيحًا وَشَحَنْتُمْ صَدْرِي غَيْضًا. My heart is filled with pain because of what you have brought upon me. This is Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi and his followers, his companions. We have got to change the way we are, brothers and sisters, if we're going to be serious. If we want to take the month of Ramadan as a great blessed platform that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has increased the effects of the a'mal. Repentance is something changing, that's what repentance is. Repentance doesn't mean just saying astaghfirullah and I want to continue doing whatever I was. Repentance means I want to change. I want to change the course of my life. I want to do something different. I don't want to repeat the same mistakes. This month is the time for this repentance. And it's a time that if we move in that direction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to add blessings. Barakah is, this is the meaning of barakah. What is it that causes the believers, we're lacking motivation to be, this is the underlying factor I think right now that we are having, believers globally for the most part are lacking the motivation. If we were motivated enough and mobilized enough, without a shadow of a doubt, we would have had the Imam right now with us. Okay, I do not have any doubt in this. Because I know our numbers, and we know our enemies. We see the circumstances and the way they are today. What we're lacking right now is enough motivation within the believers to actually take the right steps. We should be a lot more active. There's a lot more that we can be doing, but we're not. What is causing this? What's going on? There's one thing that Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi constantly talks about in Nahjul Balagha. Alright. There's certain concepts that are mentioned here and there, and we find them, they're very important to learn about them. For example, the Tawheed that Amir al-Mu'mineen talks about in Nahjul Balagha is amazing. The depths that he tries to give us, if we read them and try to understand them, is truly amazing. You don't find that elsewhere. There are many other concepts that you find there. But one concept that is constantly repeated over and over and over, and you see it in the behavior of the Imam as well, and that is condemning those who are motivated by material desires, by temptation of this temporal world, wanting the luxury of this world. And in his own action, he did whatever he could to try to push people away from that. One of the reasons you hear Amir al-Mu'minin used to dress in truly ragged clothes. Okay, he didn't used to dress in some of the, even the normal clothes that people had on in those days. He dressed the worst possible dress you could imagine. Clean but raggedy, ripped. He would sew it back up. He wouldn't change it. He wanted to show, look, why are you guys so worried about this dunya? Why are you so attached to this dunya? You know what that does? And Amir al-Mu'mineen discusses this in his khutbas in Nahjul Balagha, the rest of the Imams also. The love of this dunya, the attachment to this dunya, being constantly worried about it, you know what it does to people? What it does to people is that it lowers them below the standards of being human. And humanity starts above that, and below that line and below that standard, one is truly nothing but, God forbid, an animal. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْهُمْ أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. They are people that are worse than animals, lowered themselves below animals. When you look at animals, just try to watch them sometimes. All an animal is worried about is their food and drink, their own safety, maximum sometimes their family's safety and food, and their other material needs, and that's it. That's absolutely it. I don't know if you've seen the stampede of different species in Africa that they show. Everybody's just running for their life. And it doesn't matter what happens in this process. Other animals that could be their own brothers or sisters or their own children trampled all over, and they're not worried about any of that. All they're worried about is, I get saved, that's it. I'm just worried about myself. An animal could be grazing the grass, and another sheep or something, some of their fellow animals, is getting eaten up. Just continue eating, because that's all they're worried about. Their own food. Not worried about anything else. They don't see anything else. Some of us, unfortunately, have, God forbid, inshallah, we don't have anybody like that over here, but it's a serious problem. The only thing that we can see is our well-being, our food, our job, our family, our children, their education, our education. That's it. The whole world could be at war. People are dying as they are right now. As we are speaking, people are getting killed. In different parts of the world, whether it's Bahrain or Egypt or Pakistan or Afghanistan, Burma, they're butchering people, burning them to death. All this is going on. People are being killed right here in the United States of America, being put in prison for no reason. People are not having meals in the state of Texas. I was given this. I don't know. I haven't been following up these statistics. I just know it's terrible. They were saying northern Texas, one in every four family is lacking one meal a day. Okay. That's a pretty high rate. Okay. That's pretty bad. They're struggling to find one meal. All right. One in every four family. This is injustice. You have people living it up, don't know what to do. with all that they have and sucking it up from the entire world, and these people are having trouble right here in the United States of America with finding food for their children. Okay, and we're just absolutely fine with that. As long as I'm okay, I have my job, I have my food, I have my shelter, I'm paying my bills, it's fine. What is going to mobilize a believer is moving towards that God-given human soul of ours that sees beyond this body and its needs. It looks at others. It looks to try to help and serve others instead of serving myself. Every time I get on that plane, they're giving, I'm sure you've all seen that, they give the instructions, the safety instructions, how you need to make sure you know the procedure if anything happens. One of them is if there's loss of oxygen in the cabin, these masks are going to come down. And it says, before helping anybody else, put it on yourself. All right, even if it's your own child. Okay. I don't know, maybe they have some good reasons to an extent, but yeah, I know for some people, definitely the first thing they're going to be doing is putting it on their mouths so that they can breathe. But then you have other people that are more human. They rather sacrifice themselves and have others breathe and others be saved. Okay. A believer, a true believer, who is no longer an animal worried about their own food and drink and other temporal desires, is going to be worried about this. Seeing the globe, looking at all the problems, looking and seeing all the difficulties that people throughout the globe are facing. We here waste so much food, okay? Without any ill intentions, right here in the masjid, just go check out and see how much food is wasted, okay? There's no ill intentions, all right? I'm not trying to blame anybody, but just go and see how much extra food there is. And right now, we have people in different parts of the world that even if they wanted to have food, there is nothing around. All right. Now, when we see that, what is our reaction? This is looking, just observing, brothers and sisters, sometimes I feel that we don't do that. Again, we get surrounded in this routine life of ours here, worried about getting up on time, getting to work, doing everything, coming back, making sure everything is on that routine, because that's what is taught here. And we lose track of everything else. You know how important it is to know about what is going on? How important it is to see the world, see the problems there? How many of us have read, how many times do we read and keep that memory alive of the atrocities that are happening worldwide? People that are being killed right, left and center, Muslim and non-Muslim. Some of us kind of follow up a little bit on the Muslims, the Shias, but non-Muslims as well. You know how many people are struggling in different ways? How many people are in Europe and America? There's a commission that was created years ago. I'm not sure exactly how many years ago in the UK. And this is the Islamic Human Rights Commission. And some of the great work that they do is to try to gather information, statistics about human rights violations in Europe on different grounds, including the way Muslims are treated. We're not aware of all the atrocities that are committed in Europe. We just look back at Pakistan, Iraq, Afghanistan, and that's pretty much it, if we do that. We look at Bahrain. There are people that are deprived of education in Eastern Europe, Muslims. Entire Muslim populations are being deprived of good shelter, proper and clean water, access to education, Muslims are being deprived of this in Eastern Europe. And nobody's talking about this. Recite salawat, please. When we get to learn about some of this stuff, when you look at this, sometimes we come across some of that. Then the approach that we take is one of two things. We usually take one of two stances, or we can take one of two stances. One is, we just watch it and we're sipping our tea and coffee. It doesn't really hit us. One problem is not even being aware, not even being informed, not even looking at that news, which needs to be part of our routine, part of our daily activity. We need to be on top of it, see what's going on in this country, what is going on about gun control in this country. I'm not a supporter of carrying guns, but right now, the wrong people want to gather the guns from the people because they want to have a pretty tough stance on the people, and they're, at least the way some people analyze it, something to look into. There's many things that are developing. A lot of us are not even aware of this, or not informed of this. But then once we start getting on top of things, once we start learning about things, once we start reading, then again, this, the way that, remember where we started, the problem is lack of motivation. We're not moving. Recite salawat. We're not taking active steps. We're not. You know, one of the areas of oppression, one of the serious problems that's going on, and a lot of us are right in the middle of it. We're watching it right before our eyes, but it's really not hitting us. Let me tell you this from a verse of the Holy Quran, because it's something that a lot of us have a problem with this. Okay. Recite salawat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah has a verse that's very interesting. You may want to look it up and try to read about what the meaning of this is. I'm going to briefly try to explain this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الشَّهْرِ الْحَرَامِ قِتَالٍ فِيهِ. They ask you about the months of haram. There are certain months of the year that we are supposed to be having extra or certain restrictions, certain guidelines about what we're going to do. All right. For example, instigating a battle, starting a war, starting a battle is not something that we can do. You're probably asking yourself, can we ever start a battle? Well, the answer is, yeah, it is something that can happen. But that's besides the point, just to explain that idea. Yes, starting battle in those months is something that is considered haram. So the verse says, they ask you about this, tell them, قُلْ قِتَالٌ فِيهِ كَبِيرٌ. Tell them that fighting, starting a battle in this month, is a great sin. Kabir, what's what that means? It's a great sin. Then it says, وَصَدٌّ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَكُفْرٌ بِهِ وَالْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وَإِخْرَاجُ أَهْلِهِ مِنْ أَكْبَرْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَالْفِتْنَةُ أَكْبَرُ مِنَ الْقَتْلِ. It's a long story, what exactly happened there. I don't want to get into the story of why this verse was revealed in the first place. But these last couple of lines, there were some Muslims that started a battle. Some people got killed. Some of the mushrikeen got killed. And so they started getting on to the Prophet and saying, the mushrikeen, like, yeah, you're not really a prophet, because you just violated the right or the respect of these months. So the verse says, yeah, killing is bad, fighting and battling these months is wrong, but what you're doing is a lot worse. What is what they're doing? Killing is bad, it says, but what you're doing is worse. What is that which are they are doing? What does the verse say? It says, وَصَدٌّ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Preventing people from learning about the true teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, preventing people to hear the call of the divine, preventing people to understand it, painting the wrong image of Islam that causes people not to even want to read about Islam, and think that, oh, these guys are just lunatics. There's no way we're going to read any of this. That is worse of a crime than killing somebody. And it's happening right before our eyes, right here in this country. 24/7, when Fox News and some of the other news outlets and television stations are constantly bombarding people with wrong information. Some of the churches in this country that are teaching absolute baloney about Islam. Garbage. Complete lies. This is going on, and people are listening to that and thinking, oh, we're not going to go towards these guys. This is saddun an sabilillah. This is one of the worst forms of oppression. In the shirk la dhulmun azim, shirk is one of the greatest oppressions, and people are being kept in this darkness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us this is a great oppression. And keeping there is keeping people in that darkness is worse than killing them. So we come across these, we're watching it. What are we doing about it? One stance that's taken is just observe it and sip your coffee, continue drinking it, and with the same old routine that we had in our lives. This is that, God forbid. It's below standard, below human standard to be like that. Watch all of this, say, oh well. The other thing that we can do, wrong thing, because the good thing is, I mean, the right thing to do, and a believer should do, a muntadir should do, someone who calls for the Imam of our time to be returning to us as soon as possible, asking for it, wanting it, a true believer, a true muntadir would be taking steps, trying to figure out what can we do here. How can we help the poor here? How can we spread Islam here? How can we show people that this is not the information, the right information that they're receiving? It'll be eating their brains to think of what can we do and try to, and will mobilize such believers. Okay, this is the right thing to do. But the wrong thing, one or two things. One is just say, well, who cares? Just being careless. And the other thing that happens sometimes, which is not that below standard humanity, but it still leads to people not moving forward, not taking steps, is the feeling that I would like to do something, but what can I do? It's not going to be effective. If I even want to change something, what can I do? How can I change these? How can I influence the mindset of people in this country with all the media bombarding everybody's thoughts? Something a little more local. How can I change things? There's definitely things that I'm sure are not ideal in all centers. Okay, right here in this center, which is one of the good centers that we have in the United States, it's not ideal. Okay, you come to know about issues. There are some problems that are faced. Things are not moving the way they should be. Right? Sometimes we see that, we're like, ah, I can't do anything about it, forget it. And then what happens is that we start moving away from it. Like, I'm just better off not knowing about this because it bothers me. A muntadir isn't like that. Amirul Mu'mineen Salamullah Alayhi. When he talks about the 25 years that he had no choice but to remain silent about government and his role in that government, his active role in that government, he says, I was patient there. It was as though I had a thorn stuck in my, or a bone stuck in my throat and a thorn in my eye. Okay, it means there's pain. A believer doesn't shy away from the problems because it hurts them to see them and not be able to completely eradicate the problem. When you see those problems, some people think that, what can we do? what can I do? I can't change these people's minds. So we gradually start to just leave it because of that. It's not like we're completely careless, but we think we can't move forward. We can't do anything. We can't be effective. We can't influence people. We don't have the budget. Other people have a say. And so on and so forth. This is exactly why we have all of those ahadith that say one of the best acts that a believer can have, أفضل عبادة أمتي انتظار الفرج. That's what that means. The best thing that a believer can do is to be anticipating, having that hope high that there will be an opening, there will be victory. And that's a fact, brothers and sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised victory. There have been many victories. There are currently plenty of victories that are going on for the believers. We shouldn't think that what am I going to do as an individual and change things. The Holy Prophet was one man with Amir al-Mu'mineen and with Khadija salamullah alayhi majma'in. Okay. Three people started this. You have 1 point something billion and it will overcome all other ideologies in the near future, inshallah. Starting with three people in Mecca against all the mushrikeen. In 23 years, they had most of Arabia under their control. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants victory. Having that hope that there will be victory is the meaning of intidharul al-faraj. I'm waiting it. I'm moving towards it. I'm taking those steps. And when I'm moving in that direction, I face difficulties. I face hardship. My own people, my own brothers and sisters are telling me, why are you doing this? But I still continue. الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. See, we believe and they have that perseverance. They continue. They don't give up. Having that hope, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control, is going to lead us to action. This is the meaning of انتظار الفرج. We hope and we want to, over the course of these nights, go over some concepts that are going to help us in this way. Give us some direction. After hopefully having developed that motivation in our hearts, wanting to move, wanting to avoid that dunya, wanting to avoid what will lead the imam of our times, God forbid, I could hear that echoing in my ear, Ya ashbah al-rijal wa la-rijal. You claim to be men, but where is that manhood in you? I want to move away from that. I want to actually take some serious steps in the right direction, inshallah. We want to do something that we could say, Ya Sahib al-Zaman, we did our share. We are currently, this is something that maybe we don't understand, we are currently part of a movement if we're active. And if we're not active, we're not involved, we're not taking those stances, we are the ones that will be addressed by Amir al-Mu'mineen that way. Currently, we're not waiting for it to happen and unfold in the future. We're currently part of this struggle. That's why, for this reason, it is that we have hadith that says, if you have a believer before the Imam of our time arrives, and they're doing their share, they are in the tent, the fustat of the Imam of our time. The fustat is the tent that they used to set up for the commander. So you be in that tent. If you're doing your share, if we would be doing our share, we would be there. We say, okay, we're doing our share. We're part of this movement. Even if we don't live to see that time. We want to, inshallah, move in that direction and get some guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Ahlul Bayt. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this blessed night that He hastens the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He helps us develop ourselves to become the true companions and followers of our beloved Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prolong the life of and give good health to all those who are currently helping the cause of Islam, helping the advancement of Islam throughout the globe, especially the Maraja and especially the leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins. We ask Him to forgive our parents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who passed away of their sins. We ask Him to grant all the believers their needs, their hajat, cure all the ill from amongst the believers. All the ones that we have in mind, others that we do not know of and we're not aware of. And we ask Him by the truth and the right of the Imam of our time, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, that He relieves all the people of the world of the oppressions that they're facing. Bin Nabi wa alihi rahimallahu man qara'a al-fatihata ma'a as-salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi Muhammad.